idea?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we came and we came to work with the right frame of mind with those players and coaches, and you know, it was great energy, really good work. Thought we'd try to take care of each other, and you know, good plays on both sides.
Well, was it a tough decision to change out kickers?
Just trying to find somebody that can help us.
How'd you feel, Mike, about dividing up the two teams today?
We had a draft, Stretch and Big T. You know, I tried to massage it a little bit where I felt like I needed to, but Stretch picked and Big T picked.
Feel like it was a pretty even split and a pretty competitive practice?
Yeah, absolutely. I think at one point in time, you know, however I was keeping score, 36-33, and you know, I thought there was good plays on both sides, and you know, had a few penalties that showed up on third down, had a couple X plays. You know, so those are things that you know, can be good, obviously, for the offense and not so good for the defense. But I thought it was very competitive, back and forth, good energy.
What you saw from Ryan and a couple long touchdown passes?
Yeah, I mean, Ryan continues to have good command, and as long as we can protect him and get guys into spots, and you know, we can help him out on the back end and catch him. But, yeah, there's been good command, good leadership. Good performance.
It seemed like Tier was in the middle of the field goal scuffle after he was in the middle of something in Minnesota. Are you concerned that he's not, the message not getting through to him in terms of?
Do you have any idea what happened?
I don't. I'm asking.
Good. Well, no, you assumed. You said he was in the middle of it. So when you figure it out, you can ask me a question. Is that what you think?
I think he threw it.
Okay. Well,
could you tell us what happened in the scuffle?
No, you just assume and you went in a different direction. So. When you figure it out, then you can ask a question.
Oda Quill is a guy that you know you guys brought in last year. What was it that you initially liked about him?
Well, we didn't bring him in.
Well,
yeah, you know what I mean? Which we lucked out. We absolutely lucked out because there's not a better human being. You know, we got great people around here, but Thomas is, you know, there's not anybody better that cares about this team, that works his tail off and has really taking advantage of those reps at the line of scrimmage and has had good practice against our guys and then Minnesota, and that carried over to the game, wrestling and tangling with you know, some of those big guys on the edge of the line of scrimmage. So his hard work has paid off, and that's been really cool to see, and you know, you'd like for good things to happen to great people.
He said he kind of made it his personal mission to really get involved in the run game, blocking wise.
Well, he didn't have much of a choice. You know, Thomas isn't the fastest tight end that we have on the roster. So he had two choices, either get involved in the pass, which we probably would have steered him to the direction of being strong in a run game. So he's got a great frame, strong player, good length, and that run blocking suits him a little better.
Lost your cup a week from today. What do you tell young guys who have done well and other guys who may be feeling knowing that that date's on the horizon, about just continue to focus, not think about what's ahead?
Well, you can only, you know, control the things that you can control each day, how you come to work, how you improve. You know, if there were mistakes that showed up in practice or they showed up in the game, you know, making sure that those get corrected so that you're not an error repeater, you don't make the same mistake twice. Can you take coaching? Do you continue to show improvement? Or are you taking a deep breath? Or, you know, you're looking around and counting numbers and trying to figure out all the things that aren't important.
You've seen a lot of snaps and reps from these guys in practice and the game over the last month or so. Like, how much more over the next 3 days could they do to move the needle?
I mean, certainly the game is important. We'll practice tomorrow. Game's important. You really start to see that. Think the special teams is what we've talked about a lot with the games. You can only recreate so much out here. You know, so the special teams and the ability to tackle some of those things, that the game is critical. So I think you can see a lot.
Mason's done a great job sticking around, contributing to this team without spending much time on the 53. How's a guy like that break through now, given opportunity with some injuries?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see where. You know, he can line up at any different spot. You know, he's been a punt returner for us. He'll get some opportunities to do that in the game on Friday. He's reliable, dependable, and has been a, you know, talked about just what he's done when he's been here on the practice squad as far as the amount of volume that he's had to take over the course of a couple years in practice, just playing safety, playing receiver, playing safety, playing receiver, because we, you know, that's what we needed. And so, you know you're going to get a good day, honest day's work from Mason, and I think we all appreciate that. And he's got a great attitude. He's fun to be around.
Mike, are you hoping or expecting for Will Levis to be able to play Friday night?
Well, I hope. I don't know what I expect, but I hope that he can. I don't know if he will or not.
When you think of a guy like a first-team like Harold and playing in that third preseason game, how many snaps or plays does he need to make it work?
Try to make those decisions here closer to the game, but haven't really decided and made a final determination. I mean, I think sometimes it's just going through the process of uniform, stadium, you know, being at home, pregame, you know, going through the preparation, getting your mental routine, physical routine of warming up, and then going out there. So I don't think it has to be a ton. I think it's based on each individual player, probably.
Does the approach for a guy coming off a long-term injury like that, like him, does that change, you know, from previous times, the approach of, like, how to get him ready?
Does it change that he's coming off, he hasn't played in a while?
Right.
I mean, he just was up here. I don't know, did you? Should ask him how he's planning on getting ready. Well, then, yeah, I mean, then it's his.
But I mean, it's me.
No, I'll have a conversation with Harold and figure out, you know, what I think I need to see and what he feels like he needs to get. That's really how it'll go.
What is it that you feel you need to see?
Some live action, you know what I mean? See, like plays different blocks, cut blocks, and, you know, just being out there and tackling and finishing and just things that he probably doesn't do through the course of practice, you know, as much. I'd probably just see that, I would imagine.
Do you factor a new kicker getting used to snapper holder on his first day into the misses, or he need to be better out of the game?
We any kicker that we bring in or that we have on a team just needs to make them.
What was it about him down the tape that made you want to bring him in?
We'd had Michael here before, and, you know, he's got the next crack at it. I'm sure they'll, you know, we'll look at other ones too.
Sorry. You talked about last month Mason getting a look in the return game. Has Eric Gehrer shown you enough to also get some more looks Friday night returning football?
Yeah. I mean, had the one, I think, he bobbled. You know, I can't tell him and Marsh apart sometimes, 25 and 33, but those guys are competitive, man. They, you know, if they can return, they're tough nickels that trigger in a run game and can blitz, and they've been a nice surprise. So, you know, if Eric can help us in a return game, you know, that would certainly add value to him and his position.
Thanks, guys.
Take care of the Heat.
There you go. That was Mike Vrabel up there at the podium. We are live out here at Titans training camp, and you can tune into the Chase McCabe Show and our show today and tomorrow as we broadcast live from Titans training camp. We'll get player interviews and deliver the latest updates with Titans practice as the team preps for the 2023 season. Coverage of Titans training camp is presented by the Simmons Bank Open, Parman Energy, Caudill Vet Clinic, and the new Cumberland Development. Not a whole lot of faith there from Mike Vrabel in the kicking position.
Not at all. I didn't walk away feeling, secure or feeling good about his description of the kicking situation. I think it's a situation where he doesn't know. And
I think he's frustrated that he doesn't know.
Exactly.
Which I get it. We all are too.
Yeah, so, but, you know, the way you put it doesn't make anyone think that Bagley is going to take a hold of his job and run. It doesn't.
Not in the slightest.
Because he's already thinking about bringing in another kicker, you know.
After day one. You cut two kickers, bring in a new kicker. He practices, albeit not a very good practice for
exactly.
Michael Badgley today. 7 for 10 for Michael Badgley. And then you're talking here now about, all right, I mean, he's just the next one. Yeah. I'm sure we'll work out other ones, which I think we kind of already assumed.
Yeah, we did.
But hearing it from the horse's mouth himself, if I'm Michael Badgley, I don't feel too secure. I'm not necessarily going to buy a house in Nashville quite
yet.
Oh,
definitely. I'd be asking to stay with somebody. I wouldn't even rent a place. Hey, can I stay with you, please? Stonehouse, can I stay with you?
Yeah, can I sleep
you
on the couch?
Got an extra room? Yes. Because the way it's going, it doesn't seem like he's going to be on the roster either. You know, after today's performance, and obviously they're going to give him an opportunity to finish out the week and kick in a preseason. And if it goes well, then that's his job until it's not his job. And if it doesn't go well, then bring in another kicker.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll react to what Mike Vrabel had to say there and a breakdown of what we saw from the Titans scrimmage, the blue and white scrimmage today. Coming up next, Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Every day we are live and local.
You need to give Ryan Tannehill a two-year extension.
There haven't been too many coaching changes for the Predators.
And your source for Nashville sports.
I think that's what the Titans need.
Players who can score.
We are Nashville's best sports talk. 1025 and 1063, The Game and The Game Nashville app.
Caroline Fenton here for our friends over at Superbook Sports. Football season is right around the corner, and now is the time to place your preseason bets with Superbook in Tennessee. Superbook is the most trusted name in Vegas, and now you can use the promo code Caroline, my name, C-A-R-O-L-I-N-E, to score up to $250 with their first bet bonus. Win or lose, they will match your first bet up to $250 with promo code Caroline. Will Tennessee win the division this year? Who is your pick for MVP, and which team will win it all in February? Don't sit on the sidelines. Win money this season with Superbook Sports. Simply download the Superbook Tennessee app, or you can visit superbook.com to place your wager today. Football, a $250 first bet bonus, and the Caroline promo code will make you do your own touchdown dance this season with Superbook Sports. So visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem, call 1-800-889-9789.
What was it about him that on the tape that made you want to bring him in?
We'd had Michael here before, and, you know, he's got the next crack at it. Sure, though, you know, we'll look at other ones too.
Not a glowing endorsement there from Mike Vrabel and Michael Badgley. And the news of the day, Trey Wolf and Caleb Shootout were waived by the Tennessee Titans, brought in Michael Badgley, who has been with Tennessee before on a short stint just a couple years ago. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, we are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. And hey, Pro Golf is coming to Nashville this September 14th through 17th with the Simmons Bank Open at the Grove Club. Text the keyword EAGLE, E-A-G-L-E, now to 615-737-1025 and enter to win a weekend pass for four to enjoy the event in style, including food and drink. Now, Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, will join us in 15 minutes. We'll get his thoughts on what he saw from the Titans preseason game and the latest of the goings-on in the National Football League. Not an incredibly jovial Mike Vrabel today.
No.
Really having nothing to do with entertaining a whole lot of questions today, especially if they came from Paul Kaharsky.
Yeah. Yeah, he pretty much showed that he was a tad bit irritated today. And that irritation went toward one Paul Kaharsky. So
usually tends to go to Paul.
Yeah, it tends to go to Paul. But, I mean, what Paul brought up and what he was trying to ask, and I think what he was attempted to ask, was a legitimate question. You know, you've already kicked Kangaroo Jones off the team for fighting 2 days in a row. You kicked him off the team. And now Tierre Tart, you know, gets in a fight in Minnesota, gets in another scuffle. And you got to kick him out of practice. So when does it become a thing where, you know, what one does, you know, the other can't do? Or what one can't do, the other shouldn't do. But in this case, you know, Tierre Tart can do. But we all understand why. Listen, if your talent overshadows your sort of few hiccups that you have or character flaws or whatever you want to call them, then you're going to remain on the team.
I mean, yeah, like if you have a higher skill level, the leash is a lot longer than a practice squad guy or a backup offensive lineman. But let's go back to that, because Paul Kucharski did ask Mike Vrabel about a tussle that broke out after one of the field goal periods. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I was out here at practice. I didn't see what happened. But Paul asked Mike Vrabel about Tyr Tart being in the center of this scuffle on the field goal unit. And Mike Vrabel clapped back real quick, basically said, you're assuming of what happened. You didn't see what happened. You didn't see what I saw. When Paul Kucharski asked about Tyr Tart being at the center of it, got very, very defensive about it. Mm-hmm. Now, one, I don't know if that was Mike Vrabel being in a bad mood today, or if that was, two, the question coming from Paul Kucharski, because there is a bit.
It could have been both.
There's a good bit of truth to Mike Vrabel just not wanting to entertain questions from Paul Kucharski simply because they're coming from Paul Kucharski.
Yeah.
I do wonder that, and that was the first thing that you said to me, was he didn't want to answer that question because you can't justify kicking Jamarco Jones off the team for starting two fights in the matter of the week and then not holding Tyr Tart to the same level of discipline.
Exactly.
I don't know. I didn't see what happened. Tyr Tart has been involved in several scuffles in practice. I don't know what happened. I don't know what the deal was. But, you know, whether that applies to this or not, there is a good bit of truth, too. If you're valuable to this football team, your leash is longer.
Yeah, this one thing, you know, it just determines, you know, the pecking order. You know, you got two guys in the meeting room. I heard this story told before. With Bill Parcells, you know, you have Lawrence Taylor in the meeting room, and you have the third string linebacker in the meeting room, and both of them fall asleep. Well, that third string linebacker, you tell him, hey, pick up your book, go get your stuff out the locker, we're cutting you. You tell Lawrence Taylor, hey, LT, wake up. Wake up, LT. Film's on.
He's like, what?
Yeah. He's like, okay, I'm up. But that is the difference. When we know what type of player LT was, when you are able to perform at a high level on this field, then, like you said, the leash is a little bit longer than someone else, possibly a third stringer or a practice squad player. They can't do some of the things that, you know, the starters may be able to get away with. And they may be small things. Fighting, I don't think it's in practice, you know, there were guys that fought all the time. But when it came to being in a game, you would never see them fight.
Right.
You would never see them get anything.
Because you don't do dumb stuff that hurts.
Exactly. So, you know, I think that's probably what Paul was trying to get at, you know, but Vrabel didn't want to hear it, and he didn't want to answer it. So, you know, we will not know the answer to Paul's question other than what Vrabel told us, which was nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of nothing. Some of my takeaways from practice today. Again, the Titans were originally scheduled to have joint practices with the New England Patriots today. New England Patriots canceled those joint practices. They said it was because of the injury to Isaiah Bolden, which I'm so glad that he's okay. But as D. Mace and I have hypothesized, they're afraid of the heat.
Yeah, they're scared of the Titans and they're afraid of the heat.
Bill's gotten soft.
Yeah, he's gotten soft in his old age. He don't want to come out here. You know.
The Titans had a scrimmage today. One thing that was very apparent to me watching Tannehill in the 7-on-7 and 11-on-11 periods, especially with Treylon Burks out, he looks for DeAndre Hopkins on every single snap, and it has become so apparent. He had a couple of long completions to DeAndre Hopkins and a couple of 50-50 balls where, you know, sticky coverage by the defensive back. Ryan Tannehill still is targeting DeAndre Hopkins on almost every single play.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, that's what it's going to boil down to, you know, until Treylon comes back. We got Kyle Phillips out as well. Chris Moore is still working himself into this offense.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other guys are trying to find a roster spot.
And also, keep in mind, it was a scrimmage today.
Yeah,
so Chris Moore was on
exactly.
Malik Willis's team.
Absolutely.
They were, you know, your receiving core for Tannehill's cut in half.
Absolutely.
It was so Tannehill against Malik Willis.
Yeah, so him, I can't even – I would tend to think that even if Treylon Burks was practicing, he would have been on the opposite team.
Probably so.
Yeah.
Split up your twos.
So he would
have – excuse me, split up your ones.
Yeah. So – but they're building a good rapport.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this was good for D-Hop and Ryan Tannehill, that they didn't have the scrimmage, that they were able to focus on the combination. They were able to focus on, you know, getting that, you know, sort of thing that the quarterback and receivers need to have. That, you know, there doesn't need a word doesn't need to be spoken. I know exactly what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You know what I want from you. So they're starting to build that. And you just want to see it in the game. Unfortunately, we may not see neither one of them play in this last preseason game. So they're trying to get as much work as possible in right before the start of the season. And it seems like it's working, at least in practice.
And there's what I like and what I don't like about that. What I do like, Tannehill and D-Hop have built that rapport. Mm-hmm. That Tannehill has a new favorite target, at least now that Treylon Burks is out for the foreseeable future. That DeAndre Hopkins has been able to work himself into this offense, that Tannehill can just ball snap, he pops up, boom, delivered right to DeAndre Hopkins, and the ball comes out quick when he does so. I like that. What I don't love, and also keep in mind, whenever Treylon Burks does come back, then Tannehill is going to have more options. But at least for now, you've got D-Hop, and then you've got Chris Moore and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, and then the other guys. Mm-hmm. So what I don't love about that is we can all but guarantee if Treylon Burks is out week one against the Saints, which there's a serious possibility that he could be, defenses are double-teaming DeAndre Hopkins. So if that's your go-to guy, if you're always looking for D-Hop, he might not always be available.
Yeah, he's going to have to find another option.
You can't always go to him. You're going to figure that out real quick.
Yeah, teams are going to stay away from double-teaming him early downs. It's going to be the key down, the third down, mm-hmm. where teams are going to try to take D-Hop, and rightfully so.
Like, I double-dog dare you to
exactly.
send it to him.
You're not. They're going to try to get the ball to someone else other than D-Hop on third down. That's where, you know, Chigakonkwo comes in. That's where Chris Moore comes in. You know, and some of these other wide receivers, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, who's had a quiet camp. That's another guy that needs to come on and show that they are sort of pick up the slack for Treylon Burks since he's not here. They're going to have to find not necessarily, because I believe there are reliable pass catchers on this team, the top four, at least four or five guys, reliable guys. But they're going to have to build that rapport with Ryan Tannehill. Because now that Treylon's down, they're going to be counted on more.
Mm-hmm.
I think Nick Westbrook-Ikhine has that combination built, that rapport built with Ryan Tannehill. But I think those other guys need to develop it that are going to get an opportunity to play.
Second thing that I noticed today, Michael Badgley, first day back on the job, back in Nashville for the second time in his career, didn't have a good day. He was 6 for 9 on the day. I believe I originally said 7 for 10. 6 for 9 on the day. Hit 4 from 33, hit from 29 and from 47, and then missed from 33, 43, and 48. Can't be doing that. Too many misses for my liking, and I think you heard from Mike Vrabel there that it's too many misses for his liking as well. He was asked, you know, why did you go out and find a new kicker? He said, we need to find somebody that can help our team. When you're hitting, you know, 6 for 9, and I don't even know what percentage that is off the top of my head. I'm not going to do math on the air. Mm-hmm. That's not quite good enough, and you're not going to be able to help the team.
Listen, whether it was 6 for 9 or 7 for 10, he missed.
Not good enough.
It's just
less
not
than
good
70%.
Exactly.
Not good enough.
It's not good enough. In
66%.
This
66, not good enough. That's a
yeah.
D.
If he has another one of those days tomorrow, don't be surprised if he's cut and another guy comes here. That's just something you can't do, especially if you are auditioning for a job, especially in these conditions. These conditions are ideal for you to make just about every kick. You should be 90%. In this condition,
mm-hmm.
no crowd, nobody yelling at you.
There's no wind.
No pressure.
Much
no
to
wind.
Our dismay, there's no
exactly.
wind.
Exactly. It was perfect for you. Why in the hell are you missing field goals?
Especially from, you know, 33.
You can't.
43. Those
you
are can. Kicks you need to make.
33 and 43 are like me catching, you know, if you're missing a 33-yarder or a 43-yarder, that's like me dropping a hitch in a slant.
that comes that hits you right in the middle of the
right
hands.
In the hand. Nobody around. It hits me right in the hand.
You just got to do your job.
Yeah, you got to do your job, man. And you know, not everybody can do your job. So when you have an opportunity to do it and solidify it, you need to do it. And right now, these kickers are not doing their job.
We have Take It to the Bank on Fridays. I'll do an early Take It to the Bank. That by the time we have Take It to the Bank on Friday, Michael Badgley will not be here. And you could take that one to the bank.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I would not be surprised if they're back on the kicking carousel by the end of the week. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, will join us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on what he saw from Malik Willis and the Titans as a whole in the preseason game on Saturday against the Vikings. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, hey, tune into 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. This Saturday for the return of Vanderbilt football, we are back, baby. The Commodores will kick off at 6:30 p.m. at home against Hawaii with pregame beginning at 5 p.m. You can hear all the coverage on 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. Joining us now is Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Tim, always appreciate our sit-downs with you. It was the Malik Willis show on Saturday night. What did you make of his performance?
Yeah, I mean, I thought we continue to see him kind of grow and get better. And I think that, you know, it should be an encouraging thing. The thing for me, just year over year, watching preseason games is like trying not to get too excited about stuff, just kind of remembering how all that goes. Like, there's definitely been moments where I feel like there's been overreaction, both like good and bad on somebody, whether it's a starter or a backup. But I just would say this, and I think we talked about it last week. He looks like a different player. Like, is he perfect? No, but he looks like a different player than he was a year ago.
And I'm with you there. Tim Hasselbeck is with us. I would agree that he looks much improved. He looks much more confident. He looks like he has a much better grasp and hold of the offense. But one thing that I've wanted to make sure that at least I do is compare Malik to what he needs to be this season, or compare Malik to Will Levis, not just comparing him to what he was this past season. But what you've seen from Malik so far throughout the preseason, do you think that he can become a starting quarterback in this league?
I still think he has a chance to become one. I don't think he's one right now, right? So, say there was a situation where, whatever, Ryan was injured and, you know, he needed to go into the season as the starter. They'd be in a bad spot. Mm-hmm. And I think you look around the league, you'd say, Jacoby Brissett, like, is it perfect? No, but, like, he's prepared to go be a starter. Like, I think Malik... I think he needs more time. Now, like, saying all that, I think everyone also has to remember, like, when he was drafted, like, he was always viewed as a developmental prospect. And that doesn't mean the development happens just in one season. So do I think he could still be a starter? Yeah, I do. Do I think he is right now? No. Like, but I would compare him, like, if you were to say, well, like, tell me somebody that, you know, needed some time to develop, but you think they are a starter. Like, I think Sam Howell is going to play well as a starter. Like, I had a bunch of his games in college. I know what his ability is. But he needs to develop coming from the offense he was coming from at North Carolina to, you know, being in the type of offense he's going to play in Washington. So I'm not saying he's ready yet right now, but I do think Malik Willis does have the potential to still become a starting caliber quarterback.
We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Now, Tim, do you think we would be looking at Malik a little bit different had he not played at all last season?
Yeah, because the curiosity of how good you think he might be would bring you to a place where you would think more highly of him. Like, last year just was bad, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, in some ways it's a little bit like Jordan Love. Like, Jordan Love has a start. Remember, like, Jordan Love started a game before, and it was against the Kansas City Chiefs, and it wasn't great. And so there's no doubt that some of the trepidation on what Jordan Love's going to be is because, like, you've seen him. Like, if he hadn't played at all, there would just be this feeling of, well, he's going to be amazing. Remember how good he was? Like, it's a little bit like the mystery a lot of times makes, you know, everyone just is like assumes like, hey, well, this young prospect is going to come in and play great. And then when you see him, you're like, yeah, okay. Like, I guess there are some warts, you know, to his game. And so because of that, you know, I think it brings expectations down a little bit.
Now, do you think it's beneficial? I'm going to ask you something about Will Levis, but I'm ask you this about a backup quarterback, especially in this situation. Do you think it's beneficial that Vrabel names a backup quarterback? Because even if he does name one, if it doesn't work, or say if Ryan Tannehill goes down and say whoever he names as starter doesn't do well the first time he gets an opportunity to play, mm-hmm. he's then going to possibly switch to the other guy anyway. So is it beneficial to name a backup quarterback?
I think it's a great question, because I think that when somebody's a starter, you want that guy to feel like, hey, I'm the starter, and like, I'm not going to get benched the first time I make a mistake. I think that's important for anybody who's a starter, whether it's the guy that starts the season or the guy who's starting week six because of an injury. So I do think that's important. At the same time, I would say, having been a backup, having been a third quarterback, how you feel that week in practice is so different when you're the two versus when you're the three. When you're the third, you feel like you're an eternity from the field. Like, and people will say, oh, you're only two snaps away and this and that. Like, that's totally different than being one snap away. And so I do think this idea of like an edge and preparation and competition and preparation of every week, of being like, hey, listen, guys, we believe in both of you. I'm not like, every week might be different in terms of who the backup is and who the emergency third is. Every week could be different. And we're going to base it on how we feel that week. So, like, that's how we're going to approach this. I actually don't think that would be a bad thing, as long as when it came time for that guy to play, to know that, you know, he had your full confidence as a coach.
Now, with Will Levis not being able to play in the last preseason game because of an injury, if he's healthy enough, should he take more of the first team reps if Ryan Tannehill doesn't play?
You're saying should Levis get the
opportunity? Should Levis, because he didn't play in the second game because of the
injury. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can do it at the expense of, you know, the reps that or how you would want to divvy up the reps, right? Like, and so, and you know this, like, when a guy gets injured in camp, you know, the coaches aren't looking for a way to be like, hey, you know, how can I help that guy back out? They're more like, hey, man, like, when you get hurt, you lose opportunity. I mean, that's just – like, that's how they look at it. And even if it's, like, not your fault or whatever, it's just like, look, part of this business is, are you available to compete every time that we get a chance to do that? So, you know, I want to change it just, like, for his sake. That's not – I certainly wouldn't do it that way. You know, my sense would be, because of how this has gone, like, you're going to do what you need to do to get Ryan ready. I mean, the hope is, I mean, and I know that we've all talked about Levis and Willis like crazy, but like, the hope is those guys don't see the field. I mean, that exactly. is really what they hope, right? And so with that, you get Ryan ready. And then, look, in terms of the other guys, like, if you feel like Malik's got the edge, then you got to continue to reward him with the reps.
Yeah, and the only reason I was asking, Tim, because we got a lot of questions yesterday on Will Levis, and he should play because he didn't play, you know, in last game. He should be given an opportunity to play more this game, just to make the competition a little bit more balanced.
Yeah, no, I get that, and I think, and I understand people asking that, and in some ways it's logical, being like, hey, we had those missed opportunities, we need to catch up on that. I guess what I would say is, from my experience, there isn't like a sympathy factor for that. Like, I've never seen that, really. Like, that would be a new thing for me. And like, maybe you've seen it, where it's like, now I've seen people like ramp somebody's reps up because you know, they missed time. And so somebody who had been healthy, had been taking advantage of those reps, like kind of took it on the chin in terms of their opportunity. Like, I don't know that I have any recollection of seeing that happen.
Tim, what's your philosophy on starting quarterbacks playing in the preseason?
I think that you can't play scared because you could get hurt week one. And so whether it's Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, whether it's Tua, whether it's somebody far less established, like I'm actually okay with guys playing in the preseason. And I understand the risk that comes with it, but I'll give you an example of and of why I think it matters. The Jets' offensive line has taken a ton of heat. Now, I think the offensive line is going to look drastically different when Zach Wilson is the quarterback in comparison to when Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback.
Right.
Aaron gets rid of the ball quicker. Aaron understands issues that you may have protection-wise and will play accordingly. And I think that matters. And so I think that matters for the group of five guys that's going to be playing in front of them. And so it's like, well, why would you play Aaron Rodgers? Your season's over if he gets hurt. I agree with that. But it is a team sport, and those five guys in front of him matter in how where they are going into the season in terms of how they feel like they're playing, I think also matters.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Tim, I want to get your thoughts on the current state of the running back situation in the NFL now that we have some new tea, some new developments on the Jonathan Taylor front, so we'll get into that on the other side. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace. Hey, tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball today at 6.05 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Gwinnett Stripers, AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, is with us now. Tim, the Colts have granted Jonathan Taylor permission to seek a trade. Realistically, what's the market for Jonathan Taylor, or even just a running back of his caliber?
Well, I think the market, when you have to sign him to a new deal that you would think would be, to reset the running back market and also probably have to give up a first rounder and maybe more to get him. Like, I don't think there's a market for that. I think there might be some teams that call the Colts and say, like, hey, like, what are you looking for? And then talk to Taylor and figure out what he's looking for. But I think when they figure out what that is, they're going to be like, yeah, we're not doing that. And so I think this is just a move by the Colts to say, all right, you're asking us for this money. Like, go find it from somewhere else, like, because you're not. And if you can, then we'll try to work out a trade compensation with that team for it. But it's going to end up being really high. Like, I don't see that happening. Like, to me, this is their way of saying, like, you don't have any leverage. Go figure out, go check and see what you can find, because the reality is for us, you're under contract this year, and we can franchise you next year. So, like, we have you for 2 years under $15 million, basically. Like, what do you think is out there? Like, look what happened to Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley, you know, was in the situation that you would be in next year and couldn't even find action. So I think it's the Colts' way of basically kind of saying to him, like, look, you're not going to get what you're asking for.
Right. I feel like almost in a way it's like the Colts calling his bluff. Like, go ahead. Go sow your wild oats. But what percentage chance would you give it that Jonathan Taylor is in a Colts uniform this season?
I would say that he's on their roster 100%. That he's in a Colts uniform, I think, could get a little interesting. You know, he's coming off he's coming off the ankle injury. You know, how healthy and how soon he's ready, you know, that becomes his leverage, right? I mean, you know, there are a lot of guys that are, you know, they're not holding out, they're holding in, and they're just, you know, got a little soreness in that hamstring. And, you know, eventually that can push a team to being so upset about it that they're just like, look, we're done with you and we're going to move on and see what we can get for you and do it that way. Now, I'm not saying that he's going to do that, but I don't know the team that's going to be like, yeah, here's our first rounder and we're going to make him the highest paid running back. I just, especially when, and the Colts have to accept whatever the compensation is. I don't see that happening, which is why I think he remains a Colt.
We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Now, Tim, the second go around for CJ Stroud was much better. What did you see from him? Because obviously, I think Houston's pretty happy with his second go rather than his first go around.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, kind of one of those things where like sample size can make you feel that way. You know, you know, first go around and it's not great, and then you're out of the game, and next thing you know, it's like, well, shoot, we didn't have a whole lot to feel happy about, and then you have some success next time out, and it's like, man, this is drastically different. And so I think that there's an element of that. Look, his ability is clear. Like, he's a really talented thrower of the football, and he's played a lot of football. And so I think, like, he's a guy that look, like a lot of young quarterbacks, there are going to be highs and lows. His good stuff, I think, is going to be really good because of the way the ball comes out of his hand. The fact that he is a, or has been at least, a very accurate thrower. And so, yeah, I think there have been enough. And I feel the same way about, like, pretty much all of these rookie quarterbacks to say, like, there have been things where you're like, all right, this is good and this is encouraging for all of them. And so Stroud's no different in that regard.
Now, do you think Kyle Shanahan dodged a bullet, he and Lynch, with the whole quarterback situation? They give up all those picks to get Trey Lance. It seems like because of injury, it hasn't worked out or isn't going to work out. But because you drafted Brock Purdy, in the last round, the last person, and he's become your starter. So it's sort of worked out, but – you know, you gave up a lot of picks for a guy that may not ever be your starter.
Yeah, like, are they getting the amount of criticism that other teams would get for doing what they did for Trey Lance? Like, my answer to that would be no. Like, they botched that. Now, they got some of it right in the sense of their issue with Jimmy Garoppolo was he could not stay healthy. Mm-hmm. Like, they weren't like, hey, Jimmy's a bad player. They're like, look, he can't stay healthy. That's our issue. That's why we're doing this at the quarterback position. So they go and get Lance. Clearly a developmental prospect, not a ton of action in college, at a lower level, and then he gets hurt. He's played virtually no football. They would have the best roster without a quarterback in the National Football League if Brock Purdy didn't go on the tear that he went on last year. And, look, in fairness, look, they dumbed into the Brock Purdy thing, right? Like, Brock Purdy wasn't even a lock to make the roster a year ago. Brock Purdy, and I had one of his games in college. Brock Purdy was not a perfect prospect, right? Like, he was, he had good games. He had the crazy blow up interception games, and so, like, not a lot to make the roster. He plays remarkable for them last year. They are all in on Brock Purdy. That's great if Brock Purdy plays the way he did last year. But, you know, for all the talk we had last year with, you know, hey, can Tua throw the ball deep enough to be the full-time starter for the Miami Dolphins? Well, shouldn't we be having that conversation about Brock Purdy? Like, Brock Purdy came in with less physical ability, and now he's coming off of elbow surgery. And so now this talented Niners, you know, team and offense, like, is Purdy have the ability to attack all areas of the field that you need to be able to attack? Like, I think there's still a question mark with that.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. All right, Tim, I got another one for you. Percentage chance that Corey Davis is in a Jets uniform this season?
Ooh. Oh, gosh. Listen, as a guy that was cut 8 times, like, I want to have sensitivity. Questions like that, because, like, this doesn't feel like a trade scenario. I will say 70 to 75.
That's a lot higher than I thought. But okay, but within that 25% to 30% chance that Corey Davis could get cut by the New York Jets, at least in the Tim Hasselbeck sportsbook, if he becomes available, would that be, should that be a name, a player that the Titans look into potentially signing?
Yes.
Re-signing, yes, rather.
Yes, for sure. Look, I think he's a good player. He's found himself as, like, you know, he hit the market at a time where there was, you know, not a lot of receivers hitting the market. He was coming off of a productive season. He signed a probably a bigger contract that he would have, than he would have signed in previous years or other years. And then with how it's worked out there, especially with between quarterback play and now drafting a younger guy that they'll clearly want to be the number one wide receiver. Yeah, he for sure would be somebody that I would be interested, because you know him as a player, you know his, and you know what you could get out of him. And I think he would end up being a good fit with the current guys you have. And then listen, you're already talking about injury situations in that wide receiver room with, you know, a projected, you know, 1A, 1B receiver and starter. And so, yeah, that would be a concern.
Interesting. Mm. Well, Tim, appreciate you stopping by. Always appreciate your insight. Tim Hasbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Appreciate you. We'll chat with you next week.
See you guys.
Awesome. Right. Thanks, Tim. All right, let's react to that coming up next. Because I asked Tim, should the Titans potentially be interested if, and let me say, when Corey Davis gets released by the Jets? He said, yes, 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 absolutely. Our reaction's coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. Silly Underdog Picks is back, so make your picks today at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app as week zero of college football kicks off this weekend. Finally, people, we have made it. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports. 1025, 1063, The Game.